Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Excellent. A very warm welcome to all of you to this time of worship at Paignton Baptist Church this morning. Whether you're a regular member of the congregation, or whether you're on holiday, or visiting us for the first time, whoever you are, I know we have a contingent here from South Wales, so we're expecting some good singing. And if you're listening to this service at home during the week on the recording, then we want you to feel that you're present with us as well. Before we begin to worship, I've been handed various notices. I know you all love them. Yesterday at Messy Church, where some of us were with the children, the families, you'd like to know that there were 26 children and 16 adults, which is a remarkable number. And it felt like it, you know. It was very lively. But thank you. Thank you for all those who helped, and thank you for those who were praying for us as well. There's an important notice which Mark Ryan wants to give concerning the church meeting. Mark, when you're ready.
Good morning. To all church members, if you haven't already picked up your letter regarding the service, the meeting on Tuesday, can you do so please after the service this morning? It is a very important church meeting on Tuesday, and we do encourage everybody to come along, because one of the things that we will be discussing, and it probably is one of the most important things that we as part of a Baptist church will have to do, is to make a decision regarding the marriage and mission consultation survey that we've been looking at. We will be voting about this on Tuesday evening, and the deacon's proposals are included in the letter that you've got to take. If you are a church member and you can't make it on Tuesday, and you have a point that you wish to make, can you please let Stephen, myself, or any of the other deacons know, please, by Tuesday? Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. The other important notice is that someone special has a birthday on Wednesday. And that's Sheila at the back there. Now, we're going to sing happy birthday to you, but before I do that, is it anybody else's birthday this week? No? Okay. If you could do that, please, for us, join. Catch it with me, but I won't give you any details. In our service of worship today, we're going to be thinking about the glory, wonder, and sovereignty of our God. And to start off with, we're going to have a responsive reading, if we could have that on the screen. And originally this was going to be in two different colours, but unfortunately we had computer problems during the week. So, So I will say the first verse, if you will please join in and say the next verse, and we'll carry on until we get to the end. It's the first seven verses of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song.
For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all God.
In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let's stand and sing if you are able, but sitting down's fine as well. Give to our God immortal praise. The words will appear on the screen. Omnipotent, bountiful God. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us, for the blessings you shower upon us day by day. Thank you for the wonderful creation that you have placed us in, and for all the beauty around us. Most of all, Father, we thank you for for sending your only Son, Jesus, to be our Saviour, to die on a cross, to take away our sins, so that we, if we repent of our sins and accept that free gift, may one day live with you and with Jesus in eternal life. But in the light of all that, Lord, we are so sorry that we let you down very often. We fail to do the things that you're wanting us to do, and we do and say things we wish we hadn't done or said. So we come seeking your forgiveness once again. If we claim to be sinless, we are self-deceived, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrongdoing. Here is some good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to forgive you in your failure, to accept you as you are, to set you free from evil's power, and to make you what you are meant to be. Listen to him, for through him his Father says to us all who have come to him, as you have come to him, you are accepted, you are forgiven, I will set you free. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing together a couple of worship songs now. The first one is Come People of the Risen King, a lovely song by Stuart Townend. And then we should go on, especially with the children in mind, with My God is So Big, So Strong and So Mighty. And when we get to that, Angela's going to come and show us how the actions work. Aren't you, Angela? Oh, she's there. You've moved. Trying to fool me, aren't you? There we go. So if you're able, let's stand and sing, Come People of the Risen King, who delight to bring him praise.
Bring him praise. Come on and treat.
My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. I'm sure a lot of the children and some of the adults know the actions, but I'll leave Joy to play it and Angela to do the actions, and I'll try and come.
God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are His, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
Thank you, Angela. Please sit down. I want to introduce you to a beautiful song that I discovered just a few days ago. It's a song by Kristen and Keith Getty, and it's called Sovereign Ruler of the Skies. I'm not going to ask you to sing it, because very few of you will know it, because it's absolutely lovely. Now, children, it's good to see you. We've got children around here this morning. I've got something for you to do, and it's to do with a spaceship. I hope I've got enough spaceships. Debbie, could you come and help me? Could you give the packs out? And I'll give the spaceships out. And I hope that there are enough.
Paul and Taylor, would you like them? And I think you'd like to show them.
There you go. Promised you a spaceship.
Now we've just been singing.
Sovereign God, ruler of the skies. Sovereign ruler of the skies.
Another one,
if you can. So, I want the children to pretend that they're going off for a ride now in this spaceship. And I want you to imagine what you can see out of the windows while you're up in space, and either write what those things are or draw them on a piece of paper out of your packs. Does that make sense? And I hope this space rocket's more successful than the one that was set off by Elon Musk yesterday, which exploded after 8 minutes. This one's not going to explode. So see what you make of it. All those things that are in the sky, what can you see? Okay, you understand that? Yeah? Good. And at the end of the service, we'll have a look how you've got on. Thank you. Now we're going to take up our morning offering. This is for members of the church here in particular. If you're a visitor, it's up to you whether you want to donate or not, but if the stewards could wait upon us. Thank you. Sovereign Lord, our wonderful Heavenly Father, you love us so much. You give us so much day after day. And we want to bring you these gifts as a token of our love for you, Lord. This is just something out of the bounty you've already provided for us. And we pray that these gifts will be taken and used so that other people may come to know about your love and about the Lord Jesus. This we ask in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Before David comes to bring us God's word, we'll sing one more song. And it's a very favourite of mine. There is a higher throne. I think it's becoming a favourite of the congregation too. So let's sing this together. Preaching in the past, and we look forward to anticipation, what you're going to open up for us from God's word this morning. So may the Lord anoint your lips as you do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, David. It's always good when something happens before you preach that confirms what you're going to preach is right. One or two preachers here nodding. And the reason is, if I had to choose something for the children to do at the end, to show us at the end, it would have been a spaceship. And you'll see why when we get there in about, well, you know. Before we look at our message for today, or listen to our message for today, can I just say, on the 1st of December at 6:30 at the Riviera Centre in Torquay, there is going to be a Christmas celebration by all the churches in Torquay and Torbay. And it's going to be an evening lasting about 2 hours with a lot of Christmas celebration and a number of things. And it will culminate in a preach by J. John, who is an Anglican evangelist. And he will bring a message to all of us to come to faith and to go on in faith. Now, if you haven't booked yet, there's just 2 weeks to do it, because it is ticketed. Now, some of you have said, we don't do the internet. We can't get tickets. So there's no excuse. If you can't do the internet and want a ticket, speak to me and I will get tickets for all who can't get them for their own. So no excuse. Everybody there on the 1st of December, 6:30, the Riviera Centre. As some of you know, I'm having a little bit to do with Mark to help get this building sorted out, and we've got a number of problems because of the recent weather. And so I've had a number of tradespeople come to the church. And quite recently, one of the tradespeople said to me, in course of general conversation, I've got to know him quite well, and we have a general chinwag, and he said, whatever is going on in the world at the moment... Yes, whatever is going on in the world at the moment, the situation in most people's minds is very distressing, especially for Christians, where you have the Jews, God's chosen people, at war again with their neighbours, the Arabs. And my visitor went on to say, how is the world going to solve this problem with Israel? Because it's been struggling and failing to do so since 1948. So, what is the solution? And where is God in all of this? How do we, Christians, with our Bibles open in front of us, understand what is going on and explain to unbelievers, people out there who don't know what we do from the scriptures, what is happening? So I want to answer that question this morning. What is going on and what is the solution? So that you can talk to your family, friends and neighbours about it in general conversation. And hopefully you'll have an ending that might surprise them, but will please the Father. So for a moment, I want to park the problem. Because we need to start, in order to understand why what is going on at the moment is going on, or we've got to go back to the beginning of time, to the creation of the world, and what we call the fall at the beginning of time. In the book of Genesis, we read that Adam listened to Eve, and they both listened to the wiles of the devil instead of God. And they disobeyed God. And their rebellion led to man's alienation to God, because sin came into the world through their disobedience and cut them off from God. The fellowship they had up to that moment was cut off by their sin. And since the beginning of that event, they have passed on the gene of sinfulness in every human being, with all its heartbreaking results, selfishness, greed, anger, lying, deceit, and all the rest that ends up in war all becoming the norm for mankind, instead of harmony, obedience, and grace, which God created us in the beginning, before the fall, to enjoy. But things then get worse by the time we get to the end of the first book of the Bible, Genesis, where we discover that God promised Abraham, he was then called Abram, and Sarai, his wife, that she would bear a son to Abraham who would be the father of a new people for God, a wonderful people. And they will be so numerous, it's more than you can count the stars in the sky. But as time went by, and Sarah did not conceive a son, she took things into her own hands to provide Abraham with a son and heir, in order, as she thought, to do what God said, give Abraham a wonderful new nation that would come out of him. So she got Hagar, her Egyptian slave, to sleep with Abraham, and Bob's your uncle, very soon they produced a son. Almost immediately, Hagar realized the terrible thing that she had done, and she fled into the desert. Nine years later, Sarah became pregnant and gave Abraham God's promised son, his promised son, called Isaac, who was the first Jew to be born. That's key to this message. Listen to that. Here is where the first Jew was born. Now, to cut a long story short, and it is very short, from that time on, there was enmity between the two boys that led eventually to war between their two eventual nations that they fathered. And this is where today's conflict between the Arabs and the Jews can be traced back to as beginning. All because Sarah decided to ignore God's promise, which seemed never to be fulfilled, and took matters into her own hands, instead of believing God for the solution. She just was too impatient. Can I pause there and ask us, how often do we get impatient with God and do things in our own strength instead of waiting for Him and His time? Back to our account. What I've just recounted to you resulted in Israel, God's chosen people, going through endless wars, captivities, enslavements, until God would intervene and set them free and take them to their promised land. And this was a repeating cycle for the Jews throughout the Old Testament period and right into our present day, until the Jews were lastly restored. The last time the Jews were restored to their promised land was in 1948, when Israel took over its rightful possession of the land given to it by the Western powers, who were trying to sort out the world after the last war that was supposed to end every war. Instead, it was the foundation of many to come. And the Jews weren't, in fact, completely restored to their land. The West Bank and Gaza was given to the Palestinians, the Jews. And so there's been three wars between them, between the Jews and their neighbours, since 1948, perpetuating what happened in the Old Testament. And that's where we find ourselves at the moment. However, and always with God there's a however. However, there is now for the first time the signs in prophecy that this is where God is finally going to intervene and to end once and for all Israel's struggle with her neighbours and bring in a permanent solution. And to see how God will intervene and bring that solution into effect, we have to turn to the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. The book least read by Christians, on which preachers preach less sermons. The book most misunderstood than any other in the Bible. Yet it is God's handbook, among other things, on how he will bring a final conclusion to the suffering of the Jews and the confusion of the world. So we need to concentrate now on this event which will bring a resolution to the problem once and for all. And I want to just describe it to you as far as I can understand it from the scriptures, leaning heavily on Daniel, Zechariah, and of course the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation begins with these words in the first chapter. Look, he, meaning Jesus Christ, is coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. And that passage tells us that Jesus will come in glory in the clouds. Now, if you study the Bible very carefully, you will find clouds play a very important part in God's scheme of things. A cloud was a symbol in the Old Testament of God's presence with his people Israel. It started in the desert when they were freed by God from slavery in Egypt. They had to go through the desert wilderness before God took them into the promised land, and he led them by his presence. He was with them in the cloud. And when the cloud moved, in other words, when God moved, they moved with him. And then in Exodus chapter 40, it tells us that the cloud of the glory of God filled the tabernacle. And then when the temple was completed, when they settled in the promised land, we read in 1 Kings 8, the cloud of the glory of God filled the temple. While in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, we are told, in the last days the Son of Man will come with the clouds, within the clouds of heaven. Also recall that when Jesus was earth and went up the Mount of Transfiguration, we read in Matthew 17 that a cloud came down on the Son of Man on the Mount of Glory. And then, when Jesus ascended back to the Father in Acts chapter 1, it says, I quote, a cloud received him out of their sight. And Matthew 24 tells us, when he comes again, he will come in the clouds. And so here we see again, he is coming with clouds. Now, what's the point of that? Why does it put it like that? Well, I think it is this. It's all about a glory cloud. Clouds and clouds of glory. If you read the original texts of our scriptures, which are not easily translatable into English sometimes, that is really what it is saying. He will come in this amazing visual experience of light that is more than light that we're getting from the bulbs up there this morning. It's an incandescent light, the scriptures describe it. It's a light that is a throbbing light because it is alive with the presence of God, who is a spirit. And if you go back into the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis again, we read about the Shekinah glory that the Jews experienced, which was a blazing, shining light, God manifesting himself in light, so that although he is spirit, he could be seen in the context of his brilliance. It says they heard God also moving in the garden, Adam and Eve. It must have been an energized light. For God is a spirit and not a body. God is not a man, but he did reveal himself in this energized, blazing light of glory in the past. And that is how it will be when he comes soon to sort out the earth and the Jews in particular. And it was so powerful and so blazing that no one could see it fully and see through to God. But in the future, when Christ returns, the glory won't be veiled. And for the first time, God will do some amazing things as he sends his Son back to bring an end to all things, but particularly, we focus this morning, to the Jews. And so this is how it's going to be. And this is all from Scripture. The first thing that God will do is turn out the universe lights. The sun goes out, the moon goes out, the stars go out, and the entire universe goes pitch black. We see that in the book of Revelation. And in the pitch black universe, the glory comes out of heaven. The blazing glory of Jesus is like a million suns. The very blazing brightness of Christ, who is, according to Scripture, the express image of the Father, who is the brightness of his essence, says Hebrews chapter 1. And there's more, if you can take it. For the book of Revelation tells that there'll be 10,000 angels in their own blazing glory will come with him. But that's not all. And then if you add to that all the glorified saints of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and of recent times and history, they will come in blazing glory themselves with him. For Jesus comes with the angels and the saints who have gone before us. And we get a pageant that is almost indescribable. I'm struggling for words, but I hope you get the glory of it, the wonder of it, the power of it, coming out of the dark black sky. And so Jesus comes to earth the second time. And the next thing John tells us in the book of Revelation is the scope of what he's going to do and how it's going to happen. First of all, every eye will see him. I don't know how it's going to happen. Park your human brain. This is outside the understanding of the human brain, but let your spirit enjoy it. All over the world, everyone alive then will see him. whole world. And this time, no one will make a mistake. They'll know who he is. The first time Jesus came, his glory was veiled. But it won't be when he comes back. As every eye sees him, in all his amazing glory. And then something interesting happens. He divides those living on earth at that time into two groups. First, those who pierced him and nailed him to a cross. And then the rest, all the other tribes of earth. Those are the two groups. Those who pierced him, not the Roman soldiers, they are long dead. They won't see him. Who is he talking about? If you go back to John, we read, and they shall look on him. And who does it refer to? The Jews. That's the first group of these two divisions. He comes back, first of all, for his own people, the Jews, who rejected him when he was here the first time, and who were instrumental in nailing him to the cross. In other words, those who pierced him. Talking about this, Zechariah said, and we read about it when we were studying Zechariah a few weeks ago, the day will come when they will look on the one whom they pierced. Listen to Acts chapter 2 as well. Men of Israel, Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know, this man delivered by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Here's all the sovereignty coming out that David was referring to. Here it comes, men of Israel, whom you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men. But you did it. You used the hands of the Romans. But you, Israel, my people, the Jews, you did it. You disowned who? You disowned the Holy and Righteous One. And you put to death the Prince of Life. It was the Jews who pierced him. And they'll be the first to see him and experience something from him. Because when they see him, they will realize what they did and they will repent and be saved. And here we see the forgiving heart of our Savior at its most poignant, that those who nailed him to the cross will mourn the day they did it, and in tears he will come to them and they will repent and believe, be born again, and become his true people. That will be the moment of the Jews' salvation. In Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, we read, "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication." They will pray, "Forgive us." They will repent and they will be forgiven and made new. As you, if you're a Christian here, has repented of your sin, been forgiven and made new, and now are safe in Christ. And if here this morning you sit as not a person who has truly trusted Jesus as their Savior and are following him by faith day by day, this morning, before it is too late, because we don't know when he's coming, it could be at any time, you need to see, you need a Savior. You need to trust in Jesus. And if that's you, and you need to do that this morning, speak to me afterwards, because I'd love to show you and to pray with you and let you enter into the joy of sins forgiven, peace with God, a sure future known. As the Jews won't have to wait for it. It comes immediately. But yes, there is a day coming when God saves Israel. The house of David, the Jews. They realize their sin, and their tears will be tears of repentance. God says it will happen in one day. Back in the Old Testament, he prophesied, when this happens for the Jews, it will happen in one day. And it did. It will. He will come. And there, on that day, the Jews will be saved. The problem of the world today will be solved. I told what I've taken half an hour to share with you this morning in just a few minutes with my friend the visitor. And at the end he said, "Wow." And he went. We say, "Wow. Come soon, Lord Jesus." Oh, there are many other things that he will do when he comes back. The rest of the world. Oh, so much. I don't want us to focus on that. Just the one thing this morning. When Jesus comes, the Jews will be saved. And all of us who've been saved before will look on him and say, "Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing what no other man can do. Solve the problems of the world." Let us pray. While you have your eyes closed, I'm going to read from the book of Revelation. And I want you to go away, having listened to it with your eyes closed and just visualizing it in your spirits as you hear these words. I want you to go away from the service this morning just thrilled to be a follower of Jesus, thrilled to be involved in all of this when it happens, whenever that is to be. For John says in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. So come, Lord Jesus. Father God, only you know when you're going to do it. But our heart's prayer is for the nations of the world at this moment in all their anguish, and the Jews, your people in particular, and their Arab neighbours. Will you hasten the time of your Son's return? Until then, will you bring all who, in your sovereign plan, need to believe, to faith quickly, that the end may come? For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you, David, for that powerful word. We're going to sing another song which reflects the situation in the world at the moment. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. Then we'll have a little space for prayer before we close the service with another song at the end. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. Let's stand and sing.
Jesus, the time.
going to have a brief time now of intercession. Great God, we pray for the world in which Jesus lived, which he loved and taught us to love, and for which he died. We want to come before you and pray, Lord, this morning for those who are hurting, for those who are fearful, for those who are grieving. Loving God, so close to these sisters and brothers for whom we pray, may they find you in their pain, within their fear, and sharing their sadness. And finding you, may they find healing for their hurt, love for their fear, and peace for their distress. This is a time when you can, if you feel so led, bring us a word from the Lord, especially in relation to what David has been sharing with us. Also a time for praying for those in the world who are suffering, and more locally for those known to us who need prayer at the moment. So, loving God, we come before you in confidence, because we know you are a God who not only hears our prayers, but answers our prayers, although often in ways which we were not expecting. So we bring before you these situations that concern us at the moment, and these people that we love, in confidence that you will deal with each situation and with each person as is best for them. Amen.
As that little boy just now said, it won't go because you're holding it. And Father, sometimes within our lives there are things that we won't let go for you to organise, because we're grabbing it so tight. Father, we just pray, if that's us, Lord God, that you will help us to release all our cares, all our troubles, every situation that we may find ourselves in, to you, to the throne of grace, to answer and help us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I want to pray for all people within this room and within the congregation, extended congregation, who are dealing with loss at the moment. Whether it's loss of a loved one, or loss of security, loss of friends and family. And I ask you to hold them safely. I ask you to place angels and saints around them, and to smooth away with all the practicalities of life that they have to deal with now. The red tape, the confusing paperwork, but also wondering how long things will take and what will happen in the future. And please hold them safely, and also empower us to know when you want us to act and when you want us to just be still and listen and hold them gently. And I ask this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
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 The Lord says, do not fear, I am with you.
At the end of the rainbow, there's gold.
There's gold.
Lord, you know each of us gathered here this morning. You know us inside out. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so, as well as those prayers which have just been spoken out, Lord, we bring you the unspoken prayers of our hearts. All of us, Lord, have things on our minds and on our hearts, decisions that have to be made, troubles about health or someone else's health that we love, all manner of things. Lord, we lift all those things to you, asking that you will meet every person at their point of need this morning, Lord. And we look forward to seeing the answers to prayer that you will give. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now then, let's have a look at some spaceships. Would you want to bring them forward for us to have a look at? Oh. Right. Are you going to bring it? You're not. Right. Right. Thank you. So. Oh, he's gone. What can we see?
A colourful rocket and there's
yellow
stars.
A load of stars, yeah. Out of the rocket window. See that? That's from Noah.
We've got the moon, which is just fantastic. In fact, the moon is shining on both sides of the table, which is just wonderful.
Excellent.
And the girls at the back have done absolutely wonderful painting of the planets and stars and, oh, absolutely wonderful pictures of the whole of the universe and creation.
Marvellous.
Fabulous.
And Tay here has done one, has words as well as pictures to explain what we can see. So we've got the sky, the earth, I'm glad you remembered that, because the earth is a planet as well, isn't it? Where we live, the sea, the ocean, aeroplanes. You think of aeroplanes in space, there might be satellites and rockets. We've got clouds, we've got birds, mountains, hills, the sun, because when you've seen those marvellous pictures that have come from space, they look down on the earth, don't they, often, and you see all sorts of things there that are marvellous. We've got the sun, and just here, mountain. Yeah, well done. Did you do anything? No, you decided against it. I think they all deserve a big round of applause. Let's close with the song Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. You may be wondering why I'm standing here this morning and David was preaching God's word. Well, it's because Stephen, our minister, and his wife Leslie are over in South Brent because it's their granddaughter's dedication service at a church over there. And they're having a big family gathering. So this morning you've had double Davids instead. But Stephen will be back in circulation tomorrow. Through all the changing scenes of life. Thank you, Joy. Let's
oh.
We'll close by addressing each other with the words of the grace. And as we do sometimes, I encourage you all to hold hands with somebody nearby. Are you going to come join us? Okay. Okay. So we say together, may
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ
and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you.